Mr. Dave Davis of the Cape speaking, talking to Rabbi Saul Solomon on UNC Radio, wishing you a good day. Dave Davies on Dave's Gone By.
Oh, shalom, my friends! This is your old pal Rabbi Saul Solomon, founder and spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And I have to admit, today I'm feeling a little special. I'm getting a little kinky, if you know what I'm saying. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm getting kinky because on the phone with us today, we actually have a kink, a real kink, the co-founder of one of the greatest bands in the history of rock and roll music. I'm talking about the Kinks, and I'm talking about Dave Davis, lead guitarist, co-songwriter, vocalist, Dave Davis of the Kinks. He's with us in the neighborhood. Girl, you really got me now. That's him. This is Dave Davis. He's here calling from... Are you in New Jersey, Mr. Davis?
Shalom, Rabbi.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Aren't you living in New Jersey at the moment?
Well, I traveled back and forth from Jersey to the UK, so I'm a UK citizen, and that's my home, but I've got friends in my state, I've got friends in New Jersey, and I stay with my girlfriend when I'm out here, so I go back and forth.
Now, how did you meet your current girlfriend?
Well, I was doing a show in New York, and, we met on Facebook. She's an interviewer, and we met doing an interview, and we got together when I came to New York about 4 years ago, and I did a show, and then we met, and then we got on really well, and it all grew out from there.
Oh, that's lovely. So it's been, as you say, 3 or 4 years now, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mazel tov. So are you going to put a ring on that, or are you fine just the way things are? Fair enough. And speaking of family and things like that, you know, everybody talks, and we will talk, of course, about you and the brother that you mentioned, but people may not know that you have mainly sisters. One of them passed away fairly recently, but how are your sisters doing?
Well, I'm the youngest of eight kids in the Davis family, or this section of it, and I grew up, we were quite working class family, and we didn't have much money, but there was a lot of emotional support when I was growing up. And I've got six sisters. A couple of them are dead now, and there's Ray, and then I'm technically the baby in the family, although I was 70 last month.
And you're 70 years old, right? Is that the mazel tov? And of course, one thing about you is that about a decade or so ago, you underwent a rather serious stroke. And did it take you like a decade to get over that?
Yeah, I think the first year was really difficult. I think you just got to claw your way back, and you got to be really, really stubborn. Unfortunately, I am a really stubborn person.
No, you?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, it was hard. It's 7 years trying to get back, but, you know.
Did you lose all speech?
When you're flat on your back in hospital, there's only one way to go, and that's out.
Did you lose the capacity for speech completely and have to gain that back, or were you slurring? How bad was it?
First couple of days looked horrible. I couldn't really walk. I was confined to a wheelchair, and I had speech problems, and I couldn't use my right side, my body. But now with some good rehab and good people and support and a lovely family I've got, and my boys, and it's hard work.
Oh, yeah.
People, I learned a great deal while I was in rehab, because I would never look at a person in a wheelchair in the same way. I mean, they are really, really special people. A lot of so-called disabled people or people with terrible medical conditions, some of the bravest and most imaginative and intelligent people I've met. You know, through their companionship and support helped me a great deal. I was really, really lucky to be amongst some really fantastic, inspirational people.
Now, did going through that change your view forever on life? I mean, when you're first getting over something, you think you're going to die or thinking you'll never be the same again. And then years pass, and you're pretty much back to regular life and yourself. After a while, do you suddenly go into your old habits, or does something stay with you, and it's like, oh my God, every day's a gift?
Well, of course, you develop a different overview about life in general, because, you know, we all like to think that we're so in control of our lives. But the truth is that none of us are really in control of anything. So it makes you a little bit more having to trust in the universe, but, you know, it's not all about you, it's about everybody. And, like, that is a difficult process. But I would, before it happened, I'd been interested in yoga and the Eastern philosophies for many, many years. So I did have something to draw on. I found that my yoga and meditation really came into use while I was going through that difficult time, and it really empowered me and gave me confidence and helped me, greatly.
Do you still... Sorry.
Lucky. No, I was lucky to say.
Right, absolutely. But do you still, now that you're essentially better, do you still do the yoga, do you still do the meditation and exercises, or did you let that sort of go when you felt better again?
No, I think, meditation is really important. How we use our mind and breathing techniques are very important for everybody, not just people that have health issues. But no, I meditate regularly, and you have to be an optimist. There's no room for pessimism anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, you're not American. Believe me, Americans have a lot of reasons to be pessimistic at the moment. But still.
You know, we can't let negativity take over our lives.
That's cool.
You know, and especially when you've been through a life-threatening, debilitating kind of health problem. There's only one way to go, as I said, up.
And you have pulled yourself up, and you're now, for the first time, for the past couple of years, you've been back to making music and touring. And are you pacing yourself? Are you, you're not a young man anymore, but how's it been going that you're now playing again?
Well, no, it's great. I've been touring for the last couple of years, and I really do love America, and apart from all its faults, we all have things that are wrong with us. And I do love America, and I'm enjoying playing again. I've got a new album out, which is a collaboration with my son, Russ, and it's called Open Road, so I'm promoting that, and I'll be doing some shows in the New York area coming soon, and life is good.
Thank God, God willing. Life. Let me ask though. Your son does very different types of music than the punk folk stuff that the Kings. I mean, he does EDM kind of stuff. How was it jibing with this other musician? A, who happens to be your own flesh and blood, and B, who is into kind of a different sort of music than you were doing for 40 years.
Yeah, but of course we're very familiar with each other's work. And he comes from electronics and ambient music, and he's had a lot of success with it. But we wanted to get together and make a rock and roll record, bringing his ideas and my ideas together, and hopefully You know, I was very, very excited about the album. And Russ produced the album, Open Road, as well. So he kind of pulled it all together at the end. And I'm very, very proud of it and very happy. And we got to work so closely together. It's wonderful.
So what was it, what's it like, you know, you're talking about this album that you have with your son, Russ Davis, it's called Open Road. What was it like working on a song with him? How would the process go in the physical working on a song together?
Well, it was like, for example, one song, it was truly a collaboration. It was, you know, he would come up with a title for a song and a few lines. And a kind of a structure or a landscaping of the music, and I would sort of add lyrics to it, or what I thought, and sing, you know, I'd add also musical ideas, and that's from restructure it and rehone it, and go backwards and forwards until there's something we were really happy with creatively, but also emotionally, because music is a very, you know, emotion. Process as well. So, it's interesting because the key word for me in the beginning of it all was that Russ wrote a line in the first verse of one of the first song called Path Is Long. And the line goes, "You and I, we need to trust." And I thought, it's trust that makes things happen.
Hmm.
We can trust each other that, you know, the whole world changes. Or your inner world and everything changes. So that was a key moment for me, realizing that we could trust each other to get on with the project.
That's wonderful. I mean, you know, to have, again, a relationship as a dad, but also as a colleague of two people who trust and admire each other, that's what musicianship, well, should be all about. Hasn't always been with you, but at least that's what it should be, you know?
I think so. I think that trust element is so important. You know, in any kind of relationship, in families, and, you know, in all sorts of groups, nations, it's like imperative. We can't do any. What did they say? No man is an island.
true. I'm sort of a peninsula myself, but yes.
I'm sorry.
I was joking. I just said I'm a peninsula, personally. little joke there. We're talking with Dave Davis, legendary Dave Davis, of course, the Kinks band, and also a solo artist for these many years. Let me ask you, you know, you mentioned that you grew up very, very hard scrabble, working class. Did money change everything, and was it mostly not necessarily for the better?
I think it's, in some cases, of course, we all need things, we all be lying if we so we need, we got to eat and we got to live to get a roof over our heads. So initially, of course, money does help. But it's a line from that same song again, Path Is Long, which opens the album. And then when I added my lyrics to the song, it was after You and I, We Need to Trust. The song goes in a different section. It goes, it's not where we're going. It's not where you're from. It's not how much money you made. It's how we have lived. And it's kind of like a part of my philosophy that it's how we deal with things that makes us what we are. And the journey makes a journey, you know, a great journey or a half journey or whatever. So I think it's how we approach things that is important from a spiritual point of view. That's my take on it.
Well, given that, and given that spiritual feeling and this way of looking at the world and the way you deal with people and trusting them and having outs to relieve the anger and the stress and stuff, you, I mean, again, the invariable question, you can see yourself working again at some point, making maybe an album with your brother Ray, or not.
Well, I always keep that alive. You know, we got together, we worked on a few ideas beginning of last year, which I kind of hope that might end up on a Kinks record or on, you know, on a collaboration of some sort. But, you know, he's busy doing his stuff, and he's got his view of the world and what he wants to do, and I've got mine, but I do hope we can do something before both drop down there.
And again, when you were working with him last year on this stuff, were you able to be with him for a little bit? And if you felt yourself getting anxious or you the years of what you have called abuse with him, could you walk out of the room, take a breath, walk around the block, come back and be fine?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. You know, I need a lot of time on my own. Like, I think to get with it, like you said, just take a break, have a breather, and then go back. But it's very, very close, obviously. You know, you can't go through what we've been through professionally, let alone all the emotional ups and downs we all go through. You don't go through that without it leaving its mark.
Right. I mean, you know, you're both set in your 70s now. It's almost ridiculous to still have feuds and anger and you know, behave the way you did in your 20s. Almost a little silly, you know?
The wildness and craziness of youth is important. You know, it can help us or hinder us. But, you know, when you get, I don't feel something, although I am. I feel in my heart I'm still a bit of a boy.
Hmm.
I think I believe it's essential to even, and we're talking about on illness and getting, trying to get yourself in the right place again. I think there's an innocence of childhood is very refreshing to the spirit.
Going again. if it's for me, I'll take it later. So,
yeah.
Now, staying a little bit on the subject of the Kinks, your brother has a musical in England that is apparently doing quite well called Sunny Afternoon, based...
Yeah, it's doing really well.
Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it a few times with different
cards. Oh!
It's been around that 3 or 4 years, maybe. It's doing really well, and it is fun. It's fun to watch and share in the history of it. It's not necessarily, it's not hinged on totally on...
Fact. Well, I you apparently have been a little... It still rankles you that the story of the whole You Really Got Me... song, you know, it was supposed to be about you and him fighting, and you're getting so angry at him that you just slash a wire. But no, you were just angry at the amp.
Yeah, I got angry at the amp, and I slashed the speaker cone. That's a real event. And but you have to, you know, in theater and you have to elaborate on characters and that artistic license to make the story a lot more edgy or warmer. But the music is great. I mean, the guys that perform the music do it really respectfully, and it's warm, it's rocking. Yeah, I think it's doing really well. It'd be great to get over here.
Oh, yeah, I won't be surprised if it comes to Broadway, and touring here in the years or two ahead. But it's nice to know that you enjoy the show, that you don't, even when there are liberties taken with the storyline, it's for artistic license, and you're okay with it.
The characters are a bit hazy and placid, but it's good
now, can I ask, what are a couple of your all-time favorite Kinks songs?
Sweet spot for a track called Dead End Street.
Oh, Dead End Street. Dead End Street. I know that one, yeah.
And I still do it in my live show. But it's, I can relate to that from just how we grew up and our family. And a lot of King songs are really drawn from, you know, our family, our past. And, you know, I think it's quite a unique thing about the Kinks. It's drawn from real people, going through real emotions and the support and love of family, really.
Absolutely, and that's and you know, it's working out things. I mean, throughout the catalog of the Kinks, a lot of it is childhood. You know, Schoolboys in Disgrace, or English Life back in the day, Arthur, the Fall of Civilization. I mean, it's
that.
What do you have a favorite Kinks period? Did you like the early punky, garagey era, or the more folk and rock opera things, or did you like the arena era? Which was your favorite?
Well, I liked all elements of it. I got a bit tired of the arena days in the 80s. But, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, but I'm still here and I'm making a bit of money for my family. And so all those things, I think, creatively, I think the early days were really buoyant with creativity and ideas and expressing your imagination, and they were wonderful times in the early days. But we were lucky we had success for many, many years or decades. So it was all worth it, I think.
Well,
they all had their little, each decade has a story to tell.
Oh, that's a great line. Each decade has a story. Can I ask you, back in the those Kinks 1960s days, did you feel in competition with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, the way they sort of had friendly competitions amongst each other? Or were you sort of apart from that and you said, now we're just doing our own thing?
Well, you know, the Kinks are very much about doing our own thing because we really did sense that was the only way forward, to write and produce and perform our own music. And but of course the Beatles and the Hollies and the Yardbirds, who were good friends of ours, and Rolling Stones, it was all part of a very important culture shift, and especially a time when it's focused on working class people, on allowing to be themselves or express themselves. And it wasn't, you know, like that before. It was really a special time.
And can I ask, what would you say are a couple of your favorite songs as a solo artist? I mean, you'll mention probably one or two from the current album, of course, but over the years, what are some of the songs post-Kinks that you wish people were cognizant of?
Well, I had an album out in the early 80s called Rock Glamour, which was, there were tracks on there that I thought should have been played a bit more, and there was a song called World of Our Own, and songs like that from that album. And there was an album I had out 2 years ago called Ripping Up Time, solo album, which was really based on a dream or nightmare.
Oh, okay. What happened in the nightmare?
Well, it's like, it was kind of like what happened when I was ill. It was like, I found myself in this nightmare, and this dream-like state or terrain, and I could see a part of the past. Yeah, I could see where I was in the present, and I could glimpse part of the future. And it kind of felt like I was ripping up time.
Ooh.
So it's kind of a bit of surrealism mixed in with anxiety and being lost and searching and all those kind of things. So I enjoyed that album very much, Ripping Up Time. But I'm loving Open Road, and Touch Wood, people seem to really like it. I'm hoping for great things for it.
Are you writing new songs for another album after this? Well, I mean, you wrote some with Ray Davis last year, but something for your next project.
I think as a writer, you always got ideas and you can draw different things and you always put new things on your right. And so we'll see how things go with the tour and you're always writing something. You know, I've got book ideas that I want to pursue as well as song ideas. So it's an ongoing thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is it easier to write songs when you're sort of on the road and traveling because it's dead time otherwise than it is when you're home or in your girlfriend's home and, you know, there's TV and people around that you know and it's your regular... Which is easier or harder to write songs in?
I don't know. I think you just have it to get what you get.
Fair enough.
Being on the road is a different stimulus, obviously. So you do get different kind of ideas. But I'm just happy to get stuff.
Let me ask, speaking of going back in time, is it true that after many, many years, you met your very first girlfriend again? Like, you know, there's Susan Sheehan, I think her name was.
Yeah.
And, I mean, decades later, and then there was a baby involved. I mean, what was that like after all those years reconnecting?
It's really strange because I had a daughter with Sue when we were both, I was 15, she was 16, and it was really frowned upon in those days. And I didn't see my daughter for like 30 years. And that was very, very emotional. And you haven't seen, you know that they're a part of you, and you feel like in some kind of weird emotional vacuum. But you feel love for this person. It really is a strange experience, really, but
when you did connect with your...
I realized I carried a lot of, you know, anger at my parents and bitterness about us not being together, and who are they to say we were too young to be in love, which I think is nonsense. Love does... There's taken another title from Open Road album, that love has rules of its own. Well, I really believe that. It's not to do with generations or how young or old someone might be. You know, love does what it does. We've just got to be ready for it.
Love does what it does. I mean, that is really true. I mean, and you've had different relationships and marriages, and you were involved with men for a while at some point, too.
In the early days, and, you know, I think when you're young, you do search for identity. And you sometimes find identity with other people and how they think and their sexual preferences or fantasies or dreams or hopes that's how we really learn things, is from each other, you know, whether it's at school or just family or friends, you know, traveling, when I started to travel and you meet different kinds of people. So, you know, I think we have to keep a fairly open mind, but try and keep ourselves centered in the journey, if you like. It's not always easy.
Tell me about it. I mean, I'm a rabbi of sorts, so where does religion come into it for you, if at all?
Well, I wasn't religious growing up, but I always believed that we'd go to Protestant type of church of England. We go to church when someone got married or whatever. But I think in later years, when I got interested in astrology and in the tarot and the Kabbalah and...
Oh, the Kabbalah!
Yoga.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And when I started to see all these underlying similarities and techniques and methods and ideas that it kind of made me realise that we have, despite all these outward differences, there is an underlying connection in between the way we, in different cultures and races, interpret this knowledge. Like if you, you know, we express it in different ways through different cultures. But I thought that was really interesting, that realisation, that a lot of these processes, or spiritual processes, there's a lot of connection underlying all these different types of religions. So I'm not religious as much as a spiritual researcher in the world.
A spirit.
Spirituality, but I'm not sure whether I believe in one type of religion or not.
Well, I think we're all spiritual researchers on some level, or at least we want to be or try to be. And it's,
I think so.
It has been,
I think even when we don't think we are, we are.
Yeah, well, true. I mean, we're also rather grounded to the earth with all our problems and our needs and our wants and our greeds. But yes.
Yeah, because that's life. That's what we are. We're part of the earth.
Well.
And, like, it's important, you know, everything in our experience is important to us. Even our fantasies.
Oh, well. And the nice thing about musicians and artists is that they take those fantasies and really work them through and develop them in a way that non-artists just kind of push them down and ignore them, you know?
Yeah, I think it's very, I think it's important for all of us to, experience our unconscious as well, because that's something, especially my generation, was kind of, that was very repressed, you know, and held back. And you know, it's like the little me and me trying to scream to get out and find out what's really going on. You know, it's self-expression is fundamental to any kind of expression, you know, whether it's creative, imaginative, or, you know, we need to get our feelings out and find out what they are, how they work. Music, of course, is a great way to try and figure out this weird jigsaw that puzzle we're in. And music and the arts are great ways to bring us out into a different kind of world, and maybe, hopefully, create a different kind of world.
Well, we are just unbelievably honored that you, Dave Davis, have expressed yourself with us on Dave's Gone By. I want to remind everybody that you can go see this man, listen to him sing his songs at the Suffolk Theatre on Saturday night, April 22nd. The Suffolk Theatre is in Riverhead. You can find out all the information, plus about the new album, Open Road, that Dave Davis has done with his son, Russ. All of that info is at DaveDavis.com. I'm pronouncing this Davis the English way, but we in America say Davies, but it's Dave, D-A-V-I-E-S. .com. And by the way, when are you getting that knighthood? When is that happening for you?
Well, it's not happening for me. It's happening for my brother, Raymond. But I'm very pleased for him. I don't know why they overlooked me, but I think it's recognition for the King's work as well, though, mainly, which I think is important to be recognized for. Everybody likes to, you know, be appreciated. That's good.
And, well, we certainly appreciate all that you have given to rock and roll. I asked you before your favorite songs solo and your favorite songs with the Kinks. Do you have a favorite riff that you came up with, guitar riff?
Riff?
Yeah.
Well, I think one of my favorite riffs is a riff against the riff I came up with for a song called Power Man, which is on a Kinks album called Lola vs. Power Man and the Money Go Around. I think that was a great riff, Power Man. But there's so much music and so many riffs to choose from.
You know what? God, I hope, gives you 30, 40 more years of music and riffs to create and to give the world and to share with us, you know?
That's very special. Thank you.
And I thank you again so much for being with us in the neighborhood, Dave Davis. Much continued good health, good music, and shalom.
Shalom, sir. Thank you very much.